Hey, it's Kenyas from G2 Esport.
Richard Chucks Papillon.
I'm Apex from G2 Esport.
This is Smith.
Hey, this is Buddy from G2.
I'm McKay, and you're here listening to the Central Ring.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 90, coming to you live, pre-recorded, from an undisclosed location. The date, January 23rd, 2018, 8:53 p.m. Central Standard Time. This might be the best episode ever, if I must say so myself. I am your host. My name is Tim. Alongside me, as always, you have Brett. Hello, Brett.
It's here, guys. So close.
The major is almost here.
Oh, my God.
We have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Face it up, baby. Let's do this.
This is episode 90. 10 more till the big triple digit, where we just turn the corner. We are trying to plan something special for episode 100, though. Keep an eye on our Twitter for that, though. At the Center Ring, you can go to our website as well, tcr.gg. That will have all of the links to our social media, including YouTube, Instagram. Are we still doing that, Anuj?
Yeah.
Okay. We got Instagram. Our Discord.
Discord's the big one.
Yes, Discord is the big one. Join us in there. We're always in there watching matches, playing some games. Join us, if you will. We're not that uncool. But, yeah, I think that's everything. TCR.gg. Go to the website. That's where you need to find all of our information. Now, if you are a first-time listener, of course, follow us on all of that. But one thing you need to know here at TCR is that we cover a plethora of esports. We touch on everything. Now, this episode will be a tad different because, of course, you have the E-League Boston Major Finals coming up this weekend. So we want to just kind of dedicate an entire episode to that. So we'll take you everywhere from, you know, the challenger stage up until now with the new champion stage, telling you how we got here. We're going to end the show with some e-news, kind of a quick hits, if you will. Quick little topics that we just don't have time to get to, right? We'll talk some Overwatch League there and all of that fun stuff. But for now, gentlemen, let's get into that sweet, sweet Boston Major. It is finally
They renamed
here.
It. Did you see that?
No, what did they name it to?
They named it the Cloud9 Boston Major.
the not-so-major major? Is that still a thing?
I think it's redeemed itself, right? Of course, we're laughing at all the new stages that they decided just to completely open the door and say, "Hey, guess what? Everyone is a part of the major all of a sudden."
Right.
Normally, this would be called an offline qualifier, where we're going to now call it the new challenger stage, right? So that happened. That started about 3 weeks ago. And really, it's a shame that there are websites, I'm looking at you, Liquipedia, that are officially considering these teams in the major. Because mentally, I know on paper they're in the major, right? But mentally, I'm not there. Like, I don't consider, for example, Flash Gaming, where the only reason they're there is because Tyloo had visa issues and had to back out. I don't consider them part of the major, right? Like, I know... Mm-hmm. Technically, Markelov still has never missed a major, but I don't count that. The record's dead to me.
He's dead to you. Oh, no.
Not Markelov is dead. Markelov is still alive and well, but his record...
Yeah, I see pictures of him and his dog on Twitter all the time. He's most definitely alive.
the record of them qualifying for the major, I don't... To me, you got to make Legends stage now.
Stickers make it pretty legit.
That is
true.
Yeah,
why do you hate money, Tim? Why do you
that
hate
is
money?
True. I did protest the Pick'em Challenge, and I felt like I really made an impact. I felt like Valve
me too. I thought it wasn't me just forgetting.
No,
I agree though. It took away from like the feel, right? Like nobody, I don't think anybody looked at the Challenger stage as really part of the.
Well,
major.
You even had guys like Stewie2K tweet out saying that it was like, well, this does kind of water it down a little bit, like the feeling. A tad. Now, maybe next major it won't feel that way because now you will view the, you know, pre-qualifier for the major qualifier as, you know, a big deal. Like, a lot more will weigh on it. But for them to kind of go through all of the qualifiers and then all of a sudden change the rule kind of midway through was a bit odd. It's very Valve. It's very much like Valve just to change the rules on you in the middle of it all. But
doing everything last minute.
There were some at least decent storylines that came out of the new Challenger stage. 100 Thieves, you know, formerly known as Immortals. Rest in peace. They were not able to make it. Now, keep in mind, they were a legend team. They were automatically qualified to make it to the top 16 in the major. And yet, the Visa gods said no.
Visa gods.
So 100 Thieves had to give up their spot. Basically, allowing an extra team to get in, which is how Liquid ended up qualifying for the new Legend stage. They basically had a semi-little tournament between all the 2 and 3 teams, and Liquid ended up beating out Renegade and Avangard for that. So a little bit of a nice treat for Liquid. And the other big team that you might have noticed fall out of the Challenger stage was Envious, which... RPK, if I remember correctly, was dealing through some illness.
Seemed like he was dying, by the way they were putting out tweets. Weren't sure if the guy could even move.
Yeah. RPK always looks lethargic, but maybe even more so lethargic.
So those are some big names getting out of the new Challenger stage. But for the most part, I think the teams that you kind of expected to get out there, one, which we'll get in more details later on. QBF, though, I think surprised everyone.
Yeah, I don't think either any of us had them anywhere close to being.
How many times
position.
Can I have written them off and they continue to just keep pushing?
In every stage, right?
In every stage.
They're out. I'm not even going to think about it.
I remember
they're
in
out.
Our like episode 87 when we first started talking about the major, and I was like, and I specifically called them out. I was like, who are these QBF guys? Right? Like,
what are we going to call them? Like, what are we even going to call these guys?
Yeah, I know. We were like, are they Quantum? Are they QBF? What do they go by? And
Fire.
I was like, this is ridiculous that they're considering part of the major. But there's always that one team every major, you know? Always that. Last major, it was Big, right? Big was that one team that made legend status where you were like, huh. Okay.
But even then, Big had, like, big names on the team, you know, like Tabson.
It was funny. So doing the research for today's episode, I was like, okay, it's got to be me. Like, maybe it's just me not knowing, like, the European Tier 2 system, right? And so I, like, looked up Quantum Bellator, and I was like, all right, I'm missing something. Like, where are these players from? And I went through their entire roster and looked at all the players, and I was like... Nope, got nothing still. I've never heard of any of these guys. But they can play.
Yeah, and it's infectious too. Like, you can just tell, like, they're just happy to be there. And they look like they're having a blast. It's fun to watch. I like the Cinderellas when there's, like, maybe one or two. And then you got your big teams that you expect to be there.
I mean, because through the Challenger stage and the Legend stage, it was, for better or worse, the Swiss format. I still haven't decided if I love it or hate it. I think I lean towards hate, more or less. I'm with you, Brett, where the Cinderella stories are nice in small doses, but I'm also the kind of guy where once it gets to the finals, like, Cinderella can go home now. Like, I want the big boys. I want the big dogs to play. I don't want a team to get through best of ones. Right.
Even a bigger surprise than like a Cinderella story. I mean, look at the way these guys were playing prior to even coming to this event. You know, they weren't even placing top five in most of the events they were attending, you know, around their region, you know, in local tournaments. They play out of a LAN cafe is how they all meet up, you know, in their home area. They're not playing from their, you know, from a nice location or a cool setup. I mean,
you mean they don't practice in the Cowboys practice facility like Complexity
No,
does?
Yeah, these guys are literally going to like old school land cafes and doing their five mans there. And so, I mean, even in their last tournament, loot.bet cup.
Ah, yes. That's a very historic.
22nd.
Yeah. 20, what?
19th to 22nd, like in that range. Yeah. Where they like group them up.
It's a good showing.
So, yeah. I mean, it's insane. These guys are on a truly once in a lifetime kind of run. It's amazing that they've made legend status. And now you're going to automatically see them.
I was
going to
say, that's what would be interesting. Because I remember between Krakow and now, like, you really didn't hear much of Big, right? Like, between last major and now, you heard about him, you know, maybe at some dream hacks here and there and little invite tournaments and stuff, but even then it was just the name, right? You never thought, oh man, Big, they're a top eight major team, like, we need to keep an eye on them. It was kind of always known, like, no, you made legend status and it's cute and all, but we'll see you next major. We'll see if it actually holds. But we'll see what happens with QBF. We'll get a little bit more into the specifics of their matchup when we get here to the champion stage. Looking other at things with the new legend stage, though, some big surprises here. Well, I don't want to say big surprise. Don't let me oversell this, okay? But the 0-3 teams were North. Okay, that's a bit of a surprise.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
VP, which finally the guillotine has fallen on VP. Like, if you're a longtime listener for the show, you know me. I have always been – I like VP, right? Being a fellow Pole myself, I feel a little bit closer to them. But they have been on the fastest downward spiral ever.
Yeah.
And apart from the major, they really didn't show anything to make you believe otherwise. But you want to talk about a team that, like, Big, you didn't hear since the last major? Have you heard anything about VP since Krakow? Like, really hear anything about them?
Yeah. And their time may be coming to an end, too, because wasn't it Pasha that came out and said that, you know, hey, if things aren't working, we're going to make changes. But that's one thing. But they just recently and ownership loved them, right? They pay them really well. They have Jerry Jones syndrome, where they fall in love with a player and that player stays there. But they just changed ownership, right? So it's no longer the same ownership group that owns VP. Don't they have a new group that, well, Tim, might interest you? One of their big, one of the big investors as part of this new group is owner of Everton.
Oh,
so,
really?
There you go, man. You can just become a VP fan. They'll be your EU team to go along with Cloud9 being your NA team, but I just think their time's coming to an end. I mean, there's so many, the writing's on the wall. There's a lot of factors going against them, and it's about time, right? What do you guys feel?
It's just been like it's kind of been a running trend with them, right? That they don't perform in between big events, right? Whether it be online or offline, they tend to only show up when it counts. And Tim's right. Since Krakow, there hasn't been a whole lot of upside. I mean, they did have, I believe, the second place at Epicenter, which was a relatively big tournament, but kind of in between then, it's just been one bad showing after another. I think this is the nail in the coffin at this point, though. There's only so long that these guys really had left, and I think they were just living on that legend status, right? Knowing that they were automatically top 16. So why break it up, right? When twice a year you're going to be in the biggest event of Counter-Strike, you're guaranteed your slot on the big stage pretty much. Now you're at a point where they're going to have to find younger talent, maybe people that are more dedicated. I mean, they didn't really just get beat. They got dominated in this tournament. I mean, they're
32 round differential.
Yeah, 16 to 48.
16 to 48. It was their round differential in the, well, I guess their only stage, the legend stage.
And then look at their competition here, right? They had QBF in one of the matches who destroyed them. They had a Fnatic team who is not the Fnatic team of old. Granted, they still advanced, but still not the dominant force that we're used to seeing from Fnatic.
Right.
And then they had Cloud9, who started off 0-2 in this tournament and turned their season around, you know, after that VP game, basically. And that was, I think, the turning point where everyone was like, oh, okay.
That will be the one thing, though, right? Like, that will be the one case that VP can point to and say, hey, we lost in best of ones to all legend teams. right? They were all teams that moved on.
They helped them all.
Like,
but look at North. North went 0-3 against all teams that failed to move on. They lost against Vega, who played really well. I thought Vega played a lot better than what their 2-3 Legends stage showed. Astralis, who played really bad. And then, again, we mentioned Big, who's just not good, right? You're comparing,
Big was destined to be the 0-3 team if you know, North
right, came out of them. Right. And the fact that they were the ones who eliminated North is pretty mind-blowing there. So, I mean, in comparison, North did have a worse tournament, I feel. Not performance-wise, but expectation-wise.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
They expected to be legend status. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They have a lot of talent on that team, a lot of clutch potential. They've done well in some of these tournaments in the past. They've never found a way to get over the hump. But, you know, I think they got one win in their last 7-8, you know, tournaments as a whole. But yeah, that's going to be rough for them. Config and Cajun B, those guys look pretty defeated coming out of there.
Some of the 3-0, and I don't want to break it down too much right now because I do want, we'll break it down when we get into their actual matchup here. But G2 and FaZe ended up going 3-0. They pretty much looked like the dominating teams all the way through. What are some other things here I have in my notes? Oh, the one thing I wanted to bring up here was Liquid, right? I think that's kind of like the feel-good story so far of the major. I mean, I guess QBF, right? Mm-hmm. They're the Cinderella story. But if you were just looking for a team that had nothing to lose going into this, it's Liquid. Like, they were playing with house money because they couldn't play with Steel. So Zeus, their coach, had to sit in, right? They were moved on to Legend Stage for the sake of, like I said, taking 1,000 Thieves spot, or 100 Thieves spot, excuse me. So now they're instantly, well, listen, it's a dumb name no matter what you say. 100 Thieves, 1,000 Thieves, it's a stupid name. So I don't care that I screwed it up.
Yeah, take that nade shot.
Yeah. what were we saying? Oh, they were playing with house money. Liquid was. So it's like, I don't, like now, like if they were able to get to the legend status, right? Group stage, what was formerly known as group stage, with Zeus as a stand-in,
mm-hmm.
like... I am excited to see what happens with Liquid when they get Steel.
Man,
Steel
yeah.
also plays a coach as well in the game,
yes.
right?
So yes. his ability that dude is to help calm, cool.
Multiple, you know, ways, not just the fragging side, but also having true leadership on that team, which they've lacked. Nitro showed in this tournament that if you kind of unleash him and take away the calling aspect from him, because I'm sure Zeus was taking
yeah.
over that role.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah
there was a whole
yeah,
different
columns,
side to
yeah.
him.
It looks yeah. it looks pretty promising for Liquid, to say the least. You would hope
we're rooting for him,
and especially because like with Zeus and Steel, I mean they're both obviously Brazilian. So I mean maybe you'll have some more just chemistry there, right? As far as like them thinking on the same page and same attitude when trying to come up with strats and just you know the
being able to work together in general.
Yeah, what word yeah, am I looking for? The
camaraderie.
Yeah, like work ethic? Not a...
Work ethic?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
sure.
know. It's the intensity, right? They're going to have that same yeah. drive. There you go. The drive
Man, I,
is
yeah.
what they're
I mean, you can't,
I'm looking forward to.
You can't, like, after talking to Zeus, I just want to run through a wall. When I'm ready, let's go. Like, he's a master motivator and just a fun guy to talk to. And yeah, I think, more to your point, Tim, I think it's going to work pretty well with him and Steel. They're both pretty chill, laid back.
Mm-hmm.
Fire
yeah.
guys, so
I if you're a Liquid fan, I think you're pretty
yeah,
optimistic
you're
about this. I mean, the fact that they've
yeah.
now getting to the legend stage automatically gets you the invite. I assume they're still doing it this way. I haven't heard anything of Valve changing this, but you never know. I guess they could always change it. That gets you to the
what?
Qualifier, right? So now legend stage will get you to the challenger stage and all that. So they're at least, I guess, qualified
the
for the next major.
Yeah.
Right? That's how it works.
If it's a challenger stage, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see. Congratulations.
We'll bring you up to speed like 2 weeks before the major when
in
the rules
6 months when they announce the next major, we'll let you know what's up.
Right.
The one thing though that's crazy to me is that for the first time ever in the history of majors in Counter-Strike, you have 6 teams losing their legend status. Like, that is some high turnover with Gambit losing, defending champions, by the way, going 2-3.
And winning their only match against their former IGL in Na'Vi.
Yeah.
They also beat Space Soldier, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's not discredit that victory there. Astralis, who just looked... I watched Astralis' matches. I couldn't tell you what was wrong.
Well,
I mean, they just...
Device is just coming back not too long ago, right?
From his illness.
Yeah.
But still... I would,
he looks real bad.
I would take a recovering device over half the other field, wouldn't you?
But you're still going. I mean, but you're still going up against guys for the most
part.
Right,
you're still at a major.
Yeah, right.
Outside of that first game, device looked real bad, and the only team they beat, I believe, was North, and that came down to a 16-14. And remember, North being the 0-3 team, so. Yeah, Device was at the bottom of the scoreboard. They didn't look sharp. They've been practicing since right around Christmas with their full unit. So he's been back for a little bit. It's not like he just returned this week. But, yeah, they look like they have a little ways to go there. They didn't show up at all after the first game.
I thought it was pretty telling because them and Cloud9 were like the matchup. They were the last matchup to see if you went on, right? They were both 2-2 and loser went home.
And no, that was
that was the second to last.
One and two?
Yeah, it was 1-2.
Yeah, Cloud9 beat Vega.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. But it was an elimination game, right? It was loser goes home.
Loser was going home.
Yeah, loser goes home. And the fact that everybody on the talent picked Cloud9 to win, like not one person gave Astralis a chance against Cloud9. And I just think, man, if this was, you know, six months ago it would have been the exact opposite.
Because we crowned these guys as one of the teams that could challenge SK, right? Before FaZe became Super Team.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, they were, though, right? They won E-League Atlanta. So, I mean, they had that, and it... Like you said, I guess that's what it's just... It was Device, and maybe he's not 100% as far as mentally feeling it.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of even living on them in this tournament towards the end when they were playing Cloud9. I didn't feel 100% confident that Cloud9 was even going to win at that point. I thought it was going to be a much tougher matchup. So for Cloud9 to not only beat them, but beat them the way they beat them was really impressive. And they looked good on train. So, I mean, I think that's a map that you're going to continue to see from them. But, yeah, they shut them down in that match.
Yeah, no, the second in the Legend stage, the second Cloud9 went 0-2, I was like, no problem.
Game over.
We got this.
It's like the roller coaster ride.
This is going to be the easiest road to Legend status I've ever seen.
We got to break out the text messages. Not all the messages. Anyway.
It's an emotional
just the roller coaster ride.
All it took was for VP to boost him, and boom.
Man. Yeah, there you go. Even more of a reason for him to become your EU team. They launched Cloud9 into their 3-0.
What were the other teams? You had Big and North, which we already discussed. VP, which we already discussed, and 100 Thieves lost their all statuses, right? So that's a 6-team turnover from last major into new Legends, which is...
It'd be nice to see the fresh faces.
It's good to see parity, right? I think right now is the most parity you've ever seen in the CSGO scene. I mean, obviously you still have your SKs and your FaZe, but it's nice to see.
We're still top heavy, but there's a lot of talent now.
Right.
Yeah.
You're seeing the talent spread out. I still feel like there's a top heavy and there's still the expectation that you see an SK FaZe final. And I would say most people, analysts, non-analysts would agree with that, but we are seeing a lot of good Counter-Strike being played. And, you know, like we said, with this Swiss system, anything can really happen. And then it's proven every time we see a tournament.
Well, I think that's a huge difference, right? You ditch the group stages, or you ditch groups, I should say. And
now you go to threes, right?
Yeah, now you're in this Swiss format that promotes the best teams in that specific tournament. You're promoting those winners losing. So you're going to see people just get, you know, shafted with their way they line up. Right? I mean, look at G2. They had to play Cloud9, Liquid, and GBF to get into Legends, right? To get into the playoffs. That's who they had to play. FaZe had to play Fnatic, Vega, and SK. So, I mean, yeah, SK, but they ended up beating,
I mean,
by the way.
You even go further for G2 and past, you know, Cloud9, Liquid, QBF, they had Vega, Misfits, and then Flash before that.
I mean, it's just, and that's, but that's the flaw in the Swiss format, right? That it's like, you're going to have one team that could have a ridiculous journey to where, to the finals. And then you'll have a team like G2, which arguably had the easiest road to the playoffs ever.
Yeah, the only way to really combat that is if you want to do the Swiss system, you still got to make it best out of three. But that's a whole other thing, because then you could get into having to run multiple streams and whatever. But there's
and Lord knows, I mean, we get enough tech delays running one stream. Heaven forbid you make them try to do two.
How many times your headphones going to go out or a mouse?
Tournament will never end.
I don't understand that.
It's ridiculous. But I mean, you know, reseeding though might also not hurt that either. You know, I get the whole point of the Swiss format is winners play winners, losers play losers, and so on, and it's all random picked and everything. But you know, maybe when you switch over to a new stage, you get the seeding. You know,
and they did some sort of seeding for the champion stage, didn't they?
Yeah. For the champion stage, they did it to where it was like 3-0 teams would play, you know, basically the lower teams, 3-2, right, 3-1, and so on and so forth. Which is why you have some matching
FaZe SK on the same side,
right?
So did you guys like watch when they were choosing the teams and picking out of the envelopes and putting them on the board? Did that look funny to you at all? I mean, it's not worth even really just having a long discussion, but I was watching that. I was like, that guy just shuffled it like three times, like just lazy, and then puts it on the board. Like, come on, man. Like what are we doing here?
It's
like these big giant cards that he like moves them around three times and then chooses like, all right,
look, I'm okay with them fudging it if they're going to do it with proper seeding. I don't care.
Right.
Can you imagine if you saw
I just thought it was
SK
weird
first round matchup? Like, that'd be devastating.
Yeah.
I'm with a nude. You know what? In fact, I'd almost be happier if they did rig it for better matchups. I don't need I don't need a simple road here. But that sets up the stage for what is now the new champion stage, also known as the playoffs, right? This is where everything goes back to what we would typically see in a tournament. You have brackets, you have best out of threes, single elimination. This is kind of where it gets real.
Yeah, and this is what the crowd, I mean, this is where the audience comes alive.
We're finally in Boston for the Boston Major. So there's that.
So this is just where it gets real and the hype starts to build a lot and excitement levels go up and you know you're seeing the best Counter-Strike out there. I mean, the teams that made it are really fantastic. Outside of QBF, who's playing like one of the best teams in the world right now, we really are seeing a whole lot of the best players out there. I can't think of anybody that I really feel like we're missing.
Well, and I can't think of any other team that like you would replace QBF with. You know, like you said, like QBF has definitely played to prove that they deserve to be there. And those teams that were eliminated had no business being there. You know, it wasn't like North just had bad luck or anything like that. You know, like you went 0-3. There's no, or even like a,
we don't feel bad that they're not there.
Ultimately. Exactly. Right. Like,
if you want to see one game, if you want to go back and watch one game from the whole legend stage, go back and watch the QBF Mouse Sports game. That'll show you the will and the fight of this team and how bad they wanted it. They
were down 14-2.
13-2 first half. They came back and pulled out a 15-14 victory, I believe, on Mouse Sports on Train. Yeah, I'm sorry. It was whatever it was. I don't even have it in front of me here. 16-14, sorry. Yes, they got a 15-14. 16-14 Train and came all the way back. So, I mean, these guys were down and out. They were looking like they were going to go into a round five match and have a decider matchup where you would feel like at that point you're demoralized, right? And they pulled it back. So that was one for the ages and one that people will be talking about. And it pushed Mouse back into the round five matchup, and luckily for them, they've qualified just to run in the phase.
They could have easily just been like, oh my god.
Can you imagine being that defeated and then playing again?
Oh.
And for that game, I mean, even their last game, that went 16-13. That was a nail-biter for the Space Soldiers.
Mouse Sports had, I would give them the award for the most stressful time getting to the playoffs, but they did give us the one of the juiciest storylines going into the playoffs right now, because Mouse Sports' first matchup in the quarterfinals is against FaZe, where if you are new to the Counter-Strike scene, or maybe you just haven't paid attention, Nico, formerly of Mouse Sports, was like the golden child of CSGO before Pretty Boy Rops took his place. And now Nico is on FaZe. He left. He pulled a LeBron James and made his super team, right? He took his talents to Miami. And everyone at the time, and I think even I and we on the show, said like, well, nice knowing you, Mouse Sports. Like, this is not going to go well. And even before they got Rops, like, they held their own. Like, Mouse Sports has never really saw a huge dip once Nico left.
They've actually only done better since Nico left.
Yeah.
They played about the same after he was gone. And then they did a little revamp of the lineup where they released, you know, Dennis, Spitty, Lowell. You know, all those guys were dropped off and kind of reformed the team and built it around Oscar, who's been playing at an insane level. Rops, who's been an all-star in his own right. So they've only found themselves to get better, you know, since Nico's departure.
I always give them credit, the organization of Mouse Sports credit, for not, you know, caving in or not kneeling, right? They didn't bend the knee. Once Nico left, it would have been so easy to be like, well, okay, we'll start over. We'll look for, you know, another German player, and maybe we'll be tier two EU Counter-Strike. And that's fine, right? Kind of looking at, think of another team, right, where their star player left and then you kind of just forgot about him. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but it's probably because I forgot about him.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
And also, one thing that I think is crazy, and it's true, though. This is the first time that Nico is made playoffs at a major.
Yeah. And streaks were broken.
That's insane.
Well, I completely forgot that last major FaZe went 0-3.
Yeah, bombed out, dude.
Yeah.
Didn't even make it to groups.
Like, it was last major was their first major as, like, part of this super team. It's a little different, right? They had Kimoshima and Alu and all that.
They were missing Guardian and
yes.
Olaf.
Yeah, I mean, this was before the super team, but they were still not an 0-3 team, right?
No.
So I completely forgot he did not even win a game as FaZe at a major.
Him and Ska both breaking records.
Yep, Ska being in Cloud9. We'll talk about that here in a second. So going back to the FaZe and Mouse Sports matchup, do you see FaZe having a FaZe moment and giving this one up? I mean, best of three. So, I mean, normally the better teams wins on these.
I would say no, because, like, you just look at – because CSGO, it's a game of momentum, right? Like, you could just get super hot and just ride it all the way through a championship like G2 did at ESL. But, I mean, you look at the teams they played in the tournament. It wasn't like a G2 where it was kind of like, wow, it was handed to you. It wasn't fluky. Like, they beat SK, they beat Vega, they beat Fnatic, and they beat Na'Vi. Three of those four teams are in the legend. Well, I mean, even go back to QBF.
Yeah.
Four of the last five teams they played are legend. So, or new legend. So, I mean, no, I don't see them slipping up against Mouse Sports. May not even be close, to be honest. I don't know.
I think it'll be a good matchup. And the only reason I say that is what they met at the ECS finals, the European finals or the overall finals for ECS season four. And that ended up being a 2-1 match. It was, it was a close game. So I think it'll be closer than people expect. I would still pick FaZe to come out of that matchup. As again, I think most would, just because of the firepower on FaZe, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think we'll see another 2-1 game coming out of there. And who knows, Oscar goes back into his old form. He's, in my opinion, if he's on form right now, he's a better player than even Guardian is with the ops. So it just depends on who steps up in this matchup and, who's going to be the all-star. But yeah, I see another close game here.
They need to stay away. Mouse Sports needs to stay away from Inferno. Like, if they've done their homework, FaZe has, like, a 72% chance win rate on Inferno. Like, that's – and really, if you look, they have a 72% chance – or win on Inferno and a 70% on Overpass. Like, the fact that they have two maps where they win over 70% of the time right? And you would think, like, okay, well, how much do they play? This is just looking at last year's numbers. They played Overpass 44 times and Inferno 40. So, I mean, those are some pretty insane numbers. Like, if you think of what to veto right off the bat, those would be the two if I was Mouse Sports. Get those off the table. Like, even, like, don't even play to your strengths, right? Hope, make FaZe play off of their weakness. That's always my attitude. I can adjust to, you know, let them be the ones to adjust. I want to play at what I'm comfortable with. So you got to get rid of those maps for FaZe. And I think, I don't give Mouse Sports the win, but I think FaZe will take that. Looking here at the next matchup, because this is in the order from what I believe. I think that's what they said is the order of this. The broadcast order. Okay. So looking here, you have coming up next is Na'Vi versus QBF. It's not the prettiest matchup. You know, you kind of have both of these teams that kind of stumbled and they kind of showed up for Legend Stage, closed their eyes, and then realized, holy crap, we've qualified for the playoffs. Na'Vi, I don't get how. I mean, again, you look at the teams they played. They did not play the toughest teams here.
But they dominated. They won in convincing fashion.
Well, hold on.
Their last three games.
Simple dominated.
I mean, even Electronic stepped up. You know, he looked good, and he was actually fragging. Like, you almost wonder, are they finding their chemistry finally? Like, how long is it going to take for us to finally either give up on them or, you know, is there something here? I'm hoping there's something here because Simple is, I mean, he's incredible, dude. When he's on, he's on. Now you need Electronic or Flamey or Edward or somebody to step up as a secondary player here, and Electronic's supposed to be that guy. But I really hope there's something here because I just enjoy watching Simple play so much.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, like we're not confident, right, in picking Na'Vi to beat QBF because you look at their matches. I mean, most Counter-Strike, I mean, it's like, you know, nitty-gritty games, you know, it's a back and forth, you know, economy changes, just, you know, back and forth, you know, you rattle off some rounds and you give away some rounds, but you look at their map, you look at their games played and there's no in between with this team. Like, either they just kick the crap out of somebody or they get the crap kicked out of them, right? Like, they can't just, if they get down early, they can't just, like, dig in and just fight back. Like, they just have to start off hot.
Yeah, they haven't showed a lot of resiliency on this team. You know, they've shown if they're behind, you're generally not going to see a big push from them.
I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like that's kind of been Simple's weakness his whole career, right? Like, he has to be the one dominating, and he has to be the one dominating early and first.
And he tries to do too much. Like, you get down early, and he just tries to be this awesome player rather than just playing within himself.
Yeah, it starts to press. But for him, he's usually good almost regardless if the team wins or loses. So I still would prefer to, you know, put that blame on his teammates versus him. Because we found so much consistency in him. He's shown what he can do with taking Liquid to the places he's taken them. And now, again, even on Na'Vi, really being the only one that's consistently showing up. Really, if you just give him one more player, you know, imagine what they could do. Look at a team like FaZe, four stars on their team. You know, this guy just looking for one more, and I think he could be in the same place as them.
Yeah.
And with QBF, I mean, we've kind of already said it throughout the show on what we feel about them. I have nothing on the players. My only sample size of QBF is literally these last
this
2 weeks.
Right?
Yeah, like that's all I have on them. I even tried digging today for information of being like, maybe I've heard of one of these teams that they've been on, but it appears that they all used to play for a team called Space Jam, and that is a direct reference to the movie, and that's all I got for you. I don't...
Well, they got the secret stuff for, what was it called, Mike's stuff?
Secret Mike's stuff secret stuff. That's what it was.
Maybe they took some of that to get to legend status. I don't know.
I could see them beating Na'Vi, though. Like, riding the high... Na'Vi doesn't have much on them either, right? These teams probably have as much on QBF as we do.
Yeah, but don't get me twisted. I think Na'Vi is going to win this, but I'm not just like, you know, put it all on yellow.
I'm doing it
like,
again.
Just throw it on.
I'm going all in here. Na'Vi 2-0 sweep. in dominating fashion is what I see happening.
I'm picking them to win too, but it's just like I don't feel like they're a lock.
Part of this could be just be hoping that like Na'Vi is a team we expect them to be, right? You know, we could easily see Na'Vi fall into the same trap like we said that they've been in. But I'm really hoping that they've turned a corner and found something here rather than just a lucky three-game stretch. And yeah, to chime on what Tim said, I couldn't tell you anything about QBF other than Waterfalls is a good offer, and they are all playing well together. Other than that,
we have about a six-month period to learn about them, though, right? Because you know they're going to be invited to.
Oh yeah,
more,
you're
going to
see them invited more, and I mean just the exposure alone. Right? Like the players have a taste, the organization has a taste. The one thing you just hope you don't see, and this is just me being the type of, fan of sports, I don't want to see the players get poached. You know, like I hope the.
Well, three of them will go together wherever they go.
Their legend status, yeah. I mean, they would stick around just for that, right?
I wonder
how much Immortals is offering for them right now.
I was going to say, though, I mean, you look at that roster, and some of those guys, you could see maybe Na'Vi picking them up. Like, what if they just dominate Na'Vi because you see Waterfalls going to Na'Vi all of a sudden, right? They have, I mean,
they'll find a way to keep three together. They'll keep three together regardless just to keep their status. Because even if somebody does get poached, it's going to be like one. You know, they're not all five going to be good enough to necessarily hop onto a tier one team all of a sudden when you weren't beating tier two, tier three teams.
What I don't want to see is another 100 Thieves situation, right? Where like Immortals, the organization, just gets just goofed out of their spot. You know, just
so you're maybe saying like one of these CS:GO team that maybe like was a historical CS:GO team picks up these players and then they get into the major because they picked up three of
Whether they pick up three of them or, you know, one of them leaves and then all of a sudden because the one left, the team's in shambles, right? My fear is that the man will see the talent and destroy it by the time the next major is when, you know, Lord knows when that's going to be. Maybe a miracle will happen and they'll announce the next major by the time this one ends.
No, I doubt it.
But we'll see. Hold up. My notes must be wrong here because I'm showing here the next matchup is G2 versus Cloud9, but I could have sworn they've already done that match.
Like three times, four times now? What do we got here?
Oh, nope. Yeah, that is true. Cloud9 and G2 again. I know in our little show chat, or Nuge, I was talking to you earlier today, and I said, man, it's Cloud9's nemesis is G2 and SK, and they can never get away from them in a bracket tournament. Like, they are always on the same side of the bracket as SK and G2. And you made the joke saying that you're glad I referred to G2 as a nemesis and not a rival.
Yeah.
And my retort to that is, well, because Cloud9 would have to beat them for it to be a rivalry.
Man,
I'm not confident going
so defeated. In. No. See, this is what you do, Tim.
I'm not.
Like, you're saying not confident, and then the match starts, and like, let's go. And you become like ultra
family. That's always going to be there, right? You hope that never leaves him. I think it's a rough matchup, but really, any way that this went, this wasn't going to be easy, right? You could have been against SK, FaZe, and even, you know, Na'Vi, I guess, would have been.
That would have been my pick. If you had
that would
to
have
pick,
been the ideal pick to go against, right? But it had to be one of those four. You weren't going to play a Fnatic or a QBF just because of
the way
seeding
the
worked.
Yeah.
So I think you have to get over the hump at some point. Cloud9's going to have to do that in back-to-back matches if they advance, because they would end up playing SK next, again, another nemesis of theirs, just somebody they can't really beat.
They can't
so,
get away from them.
Look, at this point, they got legend status. We're all pretty stoked about that, pretty excited about
it. It's the first time the organization made legend since 2014, I believe, in ESL 1 Cologne, and that was back during the glory days of Hiko. Right, that's like for the longest.
This is the pre-Skadoodle days.
This no one on this roster was a part of that roster. This is a complete roster turnover in the last, you know, 3 years or so. Before Skadoodle, right? This is the first time Skadoodle has made legend status, believe it or not. And this was back where Hiko was on Cloud9, and that's
the Shazam-led team.
That has always been something that I felt like Hiko and Cloud9 fans and everything have kind of always held over Cloud9 as an organization of like, you let go of Hiko and he was the only chance of us being successful because it was the only time they were successful at a major with Hiko. And I think as this is finally getting that monkey off their back, you know, like Cloud9 can finally say, we found the team to progress to the next level, right? And they, you know, you've been seeing this, though. Cloud9, for HLTV's records, they've been in the top five, you know, throughout the year. So I don't
it's
think
just winning at the big events. They get their points in other ways. We want them to do well in one of these, even if it's not a major, like a tier one type event, like an ESL Cologne or something
just
like that.
Just beat the
like
European teams.
Yeah.
That's what
now,
I want to see. Beat the European teams.
Is,
they can with, they could dominate, you know, iBuy Power Cup every year. We've learned that. That's their tournament to win every year. I want to see Cloud9 win in an international tournament.
Hopefully they come out a little loose, you know, like you said, but now we feel like they have nothing to lose, right? They finally got that legend status, what they've been trying to obtain for years now. Now, hopefully you come out, you play a little loose. Maybe you don't feel as much pressure. The only pressure I think on them at this point is being the only NA team, you know, left, and they'll have the crowd behind them 100%. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be a really cool atmosphere for them. You hope maybe the crowd can carry them, you know, at least out of that first round to keep the hype alive, right? When there's an NA team involved, you know, just like you guys witnessed in Columbus, it's an amazing atmosphere and amazing. It makes everything
never,
that much better. So
me and Brandon, former show co-host before Nuge and Brett, rest in peace, Brandon. We went to Columbus. We flew out to Columbus from Texas. And our undisclosed location, excuse me. And we witnessed the Liquid vibes, like, in stadium. And it's always funny because, like, my memory always thinks, man, Liquid was the only NA team. But then I forget CLG was there. And I'm like, oh, poor CLG never stood a chance to win that crowd over Liquid. But to see that in person, right, to see how that crowd just rallied around an American team, right? Like, they didn't care who it was at that point. The fact that it was an American team and the only one left at that time, you know, playing SK, it was, dude, it gave me goosebumps in the stadium to see that. And I think Cloud9, I mean, you know, you've talked to, I think it was Stewie after the match said, like, they play better in an arena, right? Like, Stewie said that just in general, the team plays differently with the crowd in front of them. They feed off of that. And the fact that there is going to be just American flags and patriotism everywhere. Look, I don't know if it's going to help them win, but it's going to look cool. Yeah. It's going to sound cool on stream.
Look,
G2's
country's flag,
right?
Is red, white, and blue also. So don't get excited.
You're going to get confused. No, but I mean, people are going to be wearing like American flag shorts and
it's
bandana.
We've seen what crowds do at DreamHack, for crying out loud. Just imagine a major.
But I mean, you give them a puncher's chance, right? Maybe G2 goes into this just playing those weaker teams and just maybe overconfidence steps in, and then, you know, Cloud9, they've won three in a row, right? Like, they're coming into this thing hot, so it's not like they kind of like trickled in after, you know, like a win-loss-win-loss-win, right?
Their confidence is as high as it can be.
Yeah.
Right now.
They're knifing people. They're just having fun, man. Like,
and I looked at the stats, and I know, so all week I've been preaching in our Discord that they need to stay away from cash, right? Don't care what you play. Cloud9 can play Nuke for all I care. I don't want them to play cash. Which is kind of a weird thing, right? Because I looked up their stats, and surprisingly enough, their best winning percentage is on cash. Now, they've only played 35. It was their third least played map of 2017. But there are teams better than them at cash, right? It's not that they're bad at it. It's just I feel like there are other teams better than them. And for whatever reason, Cloud9 thinks that they can play it, so they always pick it. Or they don't veto it, I should say. Get rid of cash. I don't care. It hasn't worked out for you.
At least against G2, get rid of it.
Right, you just lost to G2 in the last stage on cash. Don't give them cash. Veto it. Get rid of
it. Tweet it now, Tim, to the entire team.
I'm gonna go on the Cloud9 message board, everything, and let them know. Don't pick
start
cash.
Start a hashtag.
And hashtag don't pick cash. We'll see. We'll see. Like I said, I don't want to get too overzealous as a Cloud9 fan. We'll see what happens.
Until the match starts, and then you're going to become their number one fan.
We'll just see what happens. And in the last match for the quarterfinals, you are going to have SK versus Fnatic. Classic battle of the Titans. You know, the old guard is playing here. I don't give Fnatic much of a chance. I think SK, even with Bolts not being able to play, and Phelps being a stand-in for now.
He was part of the team before that.
Exactly, so right. So it's like the best stand-in you could have, right? A former team member, one used to the play calls and everything like that. I don't really give Fnatic a shot at all on this. I think this is going to be a 2-0.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They look really good. I mean, even with Phelps being there. Phelps is a good player, so let's not forget them replacing Phelps just because they think they can take it a little bit to the next notch, but they're still a top 1-2 team, right, with Phelps.
That's what I said.
He
is the best stand-in.
Like, yeah, I mean,
to have
even
Phelps
as a stand-in,
as your stand-in, it's like, oh,
it's like
darn.
We call him a stand-in, but he's the regular, right? He's right. Only gone when he's actually gone, which is not going to happen until after this tournament, so... They're in good shape to kind of roll through this match. I think they'll take it 2-0 as well. I don't see much being able to stand in the way unless Fnatic has godlike play across the board. I mean, maybe you see Crims from a couple of years ago and JW from like 2 years ago at this point. But I don't see that happening. I think Fallen Company are just too strong and we'll kind of walk through these guys.
I mean, you can't. It's hard to root against them because they have like 3 of the top 10 players in the world. They have 2 of the best ops in the world, and their map pool is pretty ridiculous. So, I mean, it's you can't root against.
I'll never pick against SK.
Yeah, you can't.
Even when they're against FaZe, you're kind of like, I mean, yeah, FaZe might, but I would put my money on what I know, and what I know is SK does not. Like falter at all. Like they are pretty much straight laced every tournament they play in. They don't have their bad moments, right? Like when was the last time that you saw and watched an SK game or in a tournament and just thought, they're looking a bit off right now?
I mean, there's been times when like they'll, you know, win win lose, and it's like, what's wrong with SK? Because we hold them to a higher standard. So I mean, it's They're my pick, so yeah, I'm with you, Tim. 0-2, on to the next one.
I don't. That one will be whatever. Now getting into here, I guess the semifinals and all that's playing out. Who wins? I guess we can, if you want, we can kind of start going over our predictions. You just give the final two, and then finals.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Brett, would you like to take the honors and go first?
Geez, let me think. God, this is so hard.
I will say this: SK the top bracket is FaZe, Mousesports, Navi, and QBF. Like, if FaZe doesn't get to the finals, then that's on them. Like, there's nothing for them to do that.
I'm throwing my curveball prediction out there.
A
little different. Oh, let's not get too excited. I think in the bottom bracket, I'm still gonna go with SK here. To take the bottom bracket, but I'm going to go with Na'Vi in the top bracket. I think they have the easier first round matchup, and I don't think Mouse is a cakewalk. I really don't. I think if Mouse is on, they're a very tough team to beat, and they have a lot of senior leadership along with young stars, so I think that can still be a matchup. And then Na'Vi, like I said, a lot of this is just hope that they've turned the corner. I really want to see them do well. I want to see Simple in the semis, get into the finals again. I think there's just so much hype and just there's so much to that player, from a player and a person, right? You get like a full story with him. So I think it'd be cool to see an SK Na'Vi matchup with, you know, SK ultimately taking it.
Okay. Wow. You're giving Na'Vi a lot of credit.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. Anuj spent like the entire ESL Dallas event with Simple.
Just like, hanging out.
With him and Launders. Like, those were his two BFFs.
Edward almost spilled Sprite on his shoe.
Almost.
Mm. Almost. I do remember that. He just spilled Sprite on the floor and then just kind of left it there. And I was like, okay, well, I guess someone will pick that up, Edward. It's okay. Don't you worry about it. For my predictions, I think the top bracket, to me, I think it's FaZe. I think FaZe will go through. I think it will be nice to see it. Like, I think it would be really cool to see Mouse Sports beat them, but then I think Na'Vi would beat Mouse Sports, right? So, like, if FaZe loses against Mouse Sports, give me Na'Vi, but I think FaZe is going to win that top bracket. I understand G2 and Cloud9 have gone 4-4 in their last 8 matchups, right? So it's a 50-50, but it doesn't feel like that. So I'm still not as confident, right? I know it's been kind of a decent rivalry, but or a matchups. I don't want to call them a rival. I don't think G2's my rival, but I'll move on. And then I was thinking like SK and Fnatic. That's pretty good. You know, what's going to happen with that matchup? I don't know. So I was thinking about for my bottom going back and forth.
I hate this song.
Maybe SK, but I gotta go with my Cloud9.
We wouldn't have it any other way, Tim.
I think they're gonna sweep the table. I don't think they're gonna lose. And I put
see the roller coaster ride.
I put a lot of thought in this. Like, I ran the numbers.
I would have been disappointed if you went any other way.
I went all through HLTV, yeah, I know, right? History, everything. This is going to be the easiest major, I think. I feel bad for everyone because it's not even going to be fun. Like, if you're not a Cloud9 fan, it's over. It's over already, and it hasn't even started.
From Legend to World Champs, baby.
That's how it's going to go. It's so ridiculous. That it's right in front of us, and I felt like this preview show has been an hour, and I just felt like I wasted everyone's time.
Like,
but we could have just started.
Screw the easy road, right? I want the hardest road to a championship. That's what you're saying, Tim.
We could,
and that's
just
what they wanted, right?
We could have just saved everyone's time. So that's it for the playoff preview for the E-League Boston Major. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll do some recaps and everything next week, obviously. Talk a little bit about the results and, I don't know, maybe a North American champion. We'll see. But let's get into a little bit of e-news right now to end the show. There's some things worthy for e-news this week, but I do really want to bring them up next week for full-blown discussion. So we'll get to those in a second. You had the CWL Pro League start. Brett, do you have those matchups there, considering it seems like your internet is the only internet that wants to load this chart correctly?
I'm on it. Give me a second.
Google Chrome does not like whatever format they're using for their... Because it's doing the same thing for me, Anuj.
Sorry. Yeah, I have them in front of me. All right, so there's some games going on right now. Maybe this is where Optic turns it around. They just beat TK. 3-1, yeah.
Whoa.
So maybe this is where they come back, to Earth or whatever that term is, and maybe this is TK's, maybe their run's over. I don't know. COD. What are you talking about?
I mean, you tried.
Me?
I'll
yeah.
yeah
go,
no,
ahead,
I
mean, go ahead and just
I
give
can,
the scores.
I can read score lines.
Just,
that's all. That's
all we need. For
I just
you
asked you to read the score line. I didn't need your breakdown, but I appreciate it.
All right. So Ryze 3-0 Team Vitality. You got Era Eternity losing 0-3 to Team Caliber, and this is where I'm going to stop because this is getting ridiculous. All right,
you started so strong. I was just going to let you go.
I know, man.
I
was just like I was reading a ticker or something.
You had
right?
all the confidence in the world, and then it just
you
felt
know
it kind of wobble.
Shot, man. God, I'll try harder.
No, this is week one of CWL Pro League for COD. It started today. Matchups are going on each week, so just keep an eye on it. You can follow it online.
Thanks for saving COD, Anuj. I appreciate it.
Well, this is big for Optic, man. They're on the verge of, breaking up.
I was
going to
say,
internal problems right now.
they're probably like relieved that the season finally started and they get to move on from all these major talk. Something coming up here in Dallas. Max Southside, it's off Lamar, kind of down the street from Southside Ballroom if you are in the Dallas area. Dallas Fuel are doing like an official watching party on Friday at 8:30. You got to go on their Twitter. You got to RSVP for it. 21 and up. So, you know, either drink Dallas Fuel's first victory or drink to forget their fifth loss. Either way you want to look at it.
Not an 05.
Brett will be there getting drunk.
Oh my God. All the alcohol, just give it to me right now.
So Brett and I will be there because we care about you, the listener. All right?
You just want the free shirt and the
wristband. We want to socialize, get to know you.
I'm just interested to see the turnout. Yeah.
Anuj won't even.
I'm flying out to Boston this week. I'm going to be going to the major. I'll be doing live coverage from there, and I'll let these guys go to the watch party.
The irony that when we were going to fly out to Boston, but plans changed, we're like, man, it's going to be cold there. And oddly enough, it's like warmer there than it is in Dallas. But neither here nor there. Also,
you mean
this,
from the undisclosed location?
From undisclosed location, yes, of course. Thank you. And some games to keep an eye on for the Overwatch League this week. You got LA versus LA. That will be a good one. Is that a rematch of week one? No, you had LA versus San Francisco, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was two California teams week one, but this is the first one for LA. Of course, Friday, the first game, the early game on Friday, is the only one this weekend that really is catching my attention. And that is Seoul versus New York. Both 4-0 teams, you know, that's going to be, it's Pine, right? Like, I'm curious to see if Pine against the Seoul, if that roster is going to mesh.
I don't know. It's the battle for South Korea.
Look, 12 Koreans all going head-to-head. I'm down. I'll watch this.
It's like the demilitarized zone. You got North Korea versus South Korea joke for you. Some world humor here on TCR.
World knowledge.
With the music ending for E! News, that probably tells me that we should wrap it up. You got LA Gladiators against Houston Outlaws, and then the game that the viewing party is for on Friday night, Dallas versus Shock, should be a good one. Update everyone on our show bet, so if you don't know, we are doing a show bet where each week we pick four games, Anuj, Brett, and I, with the listener. So each week we had Nittany pick for us for the listener last week. The loser has to dress up as Tracer at DreamHack Dallas. So,
cosplay.
Austin.
Austin. Man, I wish it was Dallas. Yes, DreamHack Austin. So to update you on our show bet here, let's start from worst to first, shall we? Last week, Anuj, you failed miserably. You only got one.
Oh, no.
So, I'm sorry to tell you this. But that's okay, because you're still in second place with 5 correct points.
There we go.
Oh, no.
Brett, again, the only one you fail on is Dallas, so there's that. You have...
Yeah, keep picking Dallas matches.
You have 6. So you're in second. Anuj, you're in third. The listener, Nittany, didn't fare so well. He went 50-50. So the listener total this year has only 4 points. And then me, perfect again. Through 2 weeks, I have not once again proving who the expert really is for your official, unofficial Overwatch League show.
Mm-hmm.
The expert. Number one right here with a complete clean 100% slate. So there you have it. We'll actually tweet out. We have picks we got to make after the show for this week, but we'll see what happens there. Excellent. Well, that is it for the Center Ring episode 90. If you've listened all the way to this very point, I love you. I appreciate you. And if you skipped around and you just happen to get to this very moment as I'm saying this sentence, I appreciate y'all the same. Thank you so much for stopping by, checking out the show. If you enjoyed it, and to be honest, even if you hated it, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Join us on our Discord, like I said. We're typically there every night, either playing games, watching Overwatch League, watching the Major, doing something. Okay, so come hang out with us there. We're cool. Other than that, we'll be back next week. We will talk Overwatch League. We got XQC drama to talk about. We have ESL signing with Facebook, and that's already sparking drama in the Dota 2 community. And other than that, I think that's just about it. Again, tcr.gg is the website. At Center Ring is the Twitter information. Check us out. Share it. Like it. Make sure we live on into perpetuity. For Brett, for Anuj, I'm Tim. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.